So what is the Buddha devil? This questioner is referring to yesterday's discourse. And she said, someone who has left household life must know how to act ordinary and have a true and proper understanding, must know how to tell Buddhas from devils, to tell true from sham, to tell common mortals from sages. He later concluded this discourse saying, if students have keen eyes, they will thrust aside Buddhas and devils alike. So today's question comes from, I think, a mature student. He knows there is good and bad, right and wrong, tall and short, Buddha and Mara. But he also knows that if one only sees duality, then he is stuck in the sea of countless births and deaths. He is stuck in the pain of duality. Another way to say this may be, the student is mature and has had an opening. He has tasted the non-dual world. He has sat on the mountaintop where all is pure and clear, absolute. But he has now come down the mountain to the valley below, and there are trees blocking his view. It's noisy and muddy, and there are others around who are bumping and jostling him, and he is disoriented. He is in pain, and he is suffering, and he knows, because he's been to the mountaintop, that each thing is Buddha. But he feels horrible. This valley feels more like hell than the lotus land to him. And he blurts out his very state of mind. What is the Buddha devil? This is actually a good question oftentimes for the second day of Sesshin. By now we are drawn into the beauty, the simplicity and emerging elegance of Sesshin, drawn into the rhythms, drawn into the quiet punctuated by bells, drawn into the water's waves and the fellowship of sitting partners. But our bodies and our minds are beginning to cry with aches and pains. I think actually our minds and bodies are often articulating their discomfort and their unsatisfactoriness, but we ignore them. We find the quiet enough in Sesshin to hear ourselves, and Sesshin, the messenger, gets blamed for being so difficult and so hard. Anyway, we both resonate with the Sesshin elegance, and we are in some discomfort. And so we too wonder, what is the Buddha devil? Lin Chi said, if you have doubts in your mind for an instant, that is the Buddha devil. An initial reaction to this statement might be, then I shouldn't doubt. And I suppose on the surface that is correct. Doubt is bad, we feel insecure, and we lose touch with ourselves. We then run around looking and searching for what we already are. Doubt causes fear, and we begin to react in situations and to others rather than respond from our own depths and from our own trueness. Doubt at its core is a lack of confidence, a lack of confidence in ourselves and our ability to be in relationship, to be engaged, to participate fully. Doubt is a movement from our hearts to our heads, from our bodies to our mind. It is a separation. We distrust and move into our own cut-off places, into our back eddies of self-absorption and indulgence. Be wary of this devil's pull. But doubt also causes us to hesitate, to stop and look more deeply. With doubt, if we use it as a stimulus, we can be pushed downward where we can clarify and more intimately touch ourselves. Doubt can allow us to touch, to remember, to more fully acknowledge our own imperfections, to acknowledge and touch our own brokenness, our own wounds. And this then can give rise to humility. As an aside, humility, humus, humble, and homo as in homo sapien, all come from the same root. So maybe humility puts us in touch with what we are and with where we come from. So is doubt good or is it bad? Is it medicine or is it sickness? Lin Chi is not saying good or bad. He is simply saying doubt is the name of Buddha devil. So as I said, be wary when this Buddha devil doubt arises. Bring more energy to your practice, more mindfulness, like you do on a thin mountain trail with precipitous drops on both sides. It isn't good or bad. There are Buddha devils and devil Buddhas, but you are in a precarious practice situation, so pay attention. It is said there are three ingredients necessary for a good Zen practice. Great faith in the fact that I am awake. Or, as Lin Chi says later in this discourse, this lone brightness before my eyes now, this person plainly listening to me, this person is unimpeded at any point. So great faith, great determination. I can realize, I will realize what I am. And thirdly, great doubt. To have all three of these attributes, especially at the beginning of practice, is essential. Maybe to have all three of these aspects throughout our lives is important and allows us to be more fully human. We can see the effect in both George Bush and in the terrorist when only two of these ingredients are present, and the horror that can be created when there is no room for hesitation or for doubt. Lin Xing next echoes the Heart Sutra's saying, really, there is no Buddha and no Buddha devil. There are just temporary, impermanent states of mind. At bottom, there is no thing. No Buddha, no living beings, no long ago, no now. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. But Lin Shi then completes the complementarity of no Buddha, saying, but this person, this lone brightness right before me, she is unimpeded by the 10 directions. He is talking about you and about me. First, we become Buddhas, no eye, no ear, nose, tongue, no body, no mind. And then Buddhas become us, male and female, tall and short, you and you and you and me. Lin Chi's great-grandfather in the Dharma, Matsu, or Basso, was asked by a monk, what is Buddha? Matsu said, this very mind is Buddha. At another point, a monk asked Matsu, what is Buddha? Matsu said, not mind, not Buddha. The Heart Sutra says, form is no other than emptiness. Emptiness, no other than form. Form exactly emptiness. Emptiness exactly form. It is only in description, as Eiken Roshi says, that this may seem paradoxical. This very mind is Buddha, not mind, not Buddha. It is only in description that this may seem paradoxical. In experience, in the experience of body and mind fallen away, the fallen away body and mind, it is a radiant fact. This mind is Buddha, not mind, not Buddha. There is no room for paradox, for opposites, for Buddha and devil. In this experience, this experience is the practice of letting go and letting go and letting go again and again, letting whatever arises in and then letting it go. This is sitting with open hands. This is warm-hearted mind. This is warm-hearted Zazen. Not grasping, not avoiding, allowing each thing as it is. You, the host, finding your home in each situation. You, the host, inviting each guest. Tea for one guest, coffee for another. A hug, a shared tear, a joyful laugh, a gentle scolding. Each thing, each person, each guest met exactly where they are. A monk said to Zhao Zhou, I have heard about the stone bridge of Zhao Zhou for a long time, but I've come and found just a simple log bridge. Zhao Zhou said, you see only the simple log bridge, and you don't see the stone bridge. The monk asked, what is the stone bridge? Zhao Zhou said, donkeys cross, horses cross. Zhao Zhou completely at home, always the host, greeting whoever comes to the door. And just like in our Zazen, sitting upright but relaxed, we allow each thing that arises. And by allowing again and again, we are met by the 10,000 things and confirmed by the 10,000 things. By the plane droning across the sky of our minds. By the gentle breeze. By our sitting partner's sigh. Never becoming, as Lin Chi says, separated from this single thought. The single thought of who hears. The single thought, Mu. The single thought, this very place, home. This very body, host. When you notice you have drifted, when you find you have left home, simply come back fully with the next breath. If you are swept away by a hurricane of feeling or a tornado of thought, simply do as the Buddha did when he was sitting under the tree assaulted by the Buddha devil. Open your eyes for a second. Touch the earth to regain your stability. And then go back to that single thought, Mu, to that single thought, who hears, to that single thought, where is my home? Recollect yourselves and take your place again at the foot of the stone bridge and greet each new guest. And then wave her across. That was Zhao Zhou's occupation, but it was also his great joy, and it too can be yours. Next, Lin Chi gives us the antidote to doubt. He says, you throw away your head and then run around here and there, searching for it. Really, all you need is to have enough faith. Thich Nhat Hanh translates this word as confidence. The root of these words, faith and confidence, is trust. Have trust in yourself. Have trust in your surroundings. Have trust in your surroundings, which are yourself. That's interesting. I didn't know there whether to say is or are. Have trust in your surroundings, which is yourself. Trust your conditions, each condition, the rain, the wind, the splashing waves. Your anxiety, sadness, or fear, your joy, or happiness, each is it. Each is your confidence. Have faith in what sees out of your eyes and what chews with your teeth. Each, the brilliant light of the Tathagata, each, your own brilliant light, sparkling in different shapes and forms, sparkling in different tones and timbres, in different colors and shades. So many of you know I'm coming to this place because I've come here a few times before, especially lately. I'd like to end this talk with a passage from Zen Master Raven, a passage I'm especially fond of, and as I just said, have read before. And I always choke up a second here when I get to the part where grouse comes in. So bear with. Raven took his perch on the assembly oak and addressed a special meeting of the tall spruce community, saying, "It's time for me to be moving on." Porcupine asked, "Where will you be going?" Raven said, "Where cedar roots stand bare in the creek." A hush fell over the circle. Grouse could be heard sniffling. At last, Porcupine asked, "Do you have any last words for us?" Raven said, "Trust." Keep your eye on what is right before you, life in all its many features, both beautiful and not. Notice that all things change, that they age and die, and that this dying and death too is a part of life, or is life. By sinking into this seemingly dual-fold reality, we touch, we then experience and understand the truth of the unborn and the undying. And then, as Lin Chi says, now, wherever you are, you will be the host, and any place you stand will be the center of your home. It will be the center of your very own life. Okay, thank you.